and the elders here for giving me this time to speak to you. I also want to thank the visitors here for coming here to hear God's word and learn what he has planned for them and us. Now, if you've turned to Romans 10:17, it says, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. This is telling us that God's word, not only can we listen to it, but we need to understand it and learn what he has for us to do. And if you could please turn to Matthew 7:24-27. Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and do them will be likened a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is telling us, if we hear God's word and do what he says, our life, which is the house, will be strengthened because we built our life on the Lord God, which is the rocks. And the rocks are the foundation of our faith. But if we hear his word and do not do what is said, we'll be like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, the house being the life and the sand being of the world. And the rains will descend, and the floods will come, and the wind will blow away your life. The winds, the rain, and the sand, and the floods, Satan. And the sand that is weak cannot be the foundation of your life. That is the Lord. He can be your foundation. And in letting the world get to you and Satan tempt you, you will come across many temptations. Drugs, alcohol, stealing, murder, suicide. Well, that's one of many wrong decisions you can make. Webster defines suicide as the act of taking one's own life. But the true definition is the murder of God's creation and saved child. Genesis 2:7 and 1 Corinthians 6:15. Now, before we go any further, I would like to show you, I would like to tell you some facts about suicide. The suicide rate for the 15 to 24-year-old age group has tripled over the last 40 years. The highest rate for both genders is ages 80 to 84, which is 5 to 6 more times prevalent than among teens. 19 adolescents each day, 5,000 to 7,000 teens each year in their lives. Attempted suicides tend to be done by females by a ratio of 4 to 1, and completed suicides tend to be done by males by a ratio of 3 to 1. Suicide cuts across all age, ethnic, social, and economic boundaries. Firearms are the currently most utilized method of suicide by essentially all groups, and the rates are increasing. The highest increase in the area for suicide are the southern states. Suicide often occurs in May and April, or late fall and early winter. Saturday and Monday have been common days for suicide acts to occur. Surviving family members not only suffer from the trauma of losing a loved one to suicide, but are themselves at high risk for suicide and severe emotional problems. One time on the Today Show, they were interviewing Jack Kevorkian because he had just helped complete his 100th suicide case. When asked, what is the first thing a client asks, he said with a laugh that, when can we start? He also said during the interview that it would be immoral to pass a law that would convict people who assist suicides. And in any civilized society, this would not be a crime. This person apparently does not fear his condemnation to hell and does not care for his soul and the souls of those who he assists. Suicide is brought on by many things. Samson was a man of God. His wife Delilah deceived him, and the Philistines imprisoned him. Samson lost hope in his life and killed himself as well as those in the temple, as you will read in Judges 16:29-30. King Zimri in 1 Kings 16:18-19. He ended somebody's life, and the Israelites found this out, and he learned that they were going to punish him, so he burned his entire house and killed himself. In 2 Samuel 16:23, it talks about a man named Ahithophel. He gave great advice to David. Now his advice was that came from the oracle of God. So this is pretty good advice. And so in 17:21-23 in 2 Samuel, David didn't listen to his advice. And so when Ahithophel found this out, he ended his life because he was disappointed. I might mention that there will be handouts for you. And finally, Judas. He was a disciple of Christ. And in John 13 and in other chapters as well, in other books as well, Jesus told him that he would betray him. And so Judas handed Jesus to his enemy for money. And in Matthew 27:3-5, he handed his money back over to the Sadducees and said that he had betrayed innocent blood. And he went and he killed himself. What are the principles that prohibit suicide? Well, in Genesis 2:7, it says that God made us. Our bodies were made by God, and that was a great miracle. We were also made in the image of God, as it says in Genesis 9:6. It is repeated thousands of times through the Bible, "Thou shalt not kill," Old Testament, New Testament. Where or who can we find advice? In Psalms 30:10, it states, in 2 Timothy 4:17, I'm sorry. "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." God gives us great strength. In Philippians 4:13, it states that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you go into a bookstore today, you'll see that there's a section called self-help section. There you'll find everything from dating to dummies to how to deal with stress. But will you find the Bible there? No, it's over there in the other section with the religion section with other religions with other books. If you turn to James 5:15-18, it states, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will rise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the flood produced its fruit. In Galatians 6:1-2, it states, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespasses, you who are spiritual restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are family. We should understand one another's trespasses and pray for one another, take one another's burdens. There are some warning signs to suicide. Abrupt changes in personality, previous suicide attempts, ending of a romance, inability to tolerate frustration, use of drugs and or alcohol, eating disturbances, significant weight changes, withdrawal, unwillingness or inability to communicate, unusual long brief reaction, unusual sadness, discouragement or loneliness, hostile behavior, neglect of personal appearance, family disturbance, divorce, trauma, losing loved one, running away from home or truancy from school, rebelliousness, reckless behavior, withdrawal from activities that they love. Not all the time will you notice these signs until it's too late. What I'm trying to get across to you is that life is too precious, both natural and eternal. God chose you. In 1 Peter 2:4, it states that coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God as precious. God loved you. In Romans 5:8, he sent his only begotten son to die for us to murder him so that we might be saved. That is great love towards us. In Matthew 5:16 and also in Matthew 20:28, it states, let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, if you kill yourself, you're going to blow out that light, and nobody else in the world will see how great and miraculous God is and how powerful he is. God has a gift for each one of you. That is eternal life, as stated in John 10:28 and Romans 6:23. I started this sermon around November of last year for a reason. Last summer, August 3rd, around midnight, I was rushed to a hospital because I tried to end my life. I had forgotten that God was there for me, that people just like me, Christians, were there to help me, to give me strength. While being rushed to the hospital, I realized what I had done, and I prayed hard. I had finally realized that maybe this is a sign. And so I started this sermon around November of last year, so that I might help others realize that God's there to help them, and that other people are there to help them through thick and thin. If you are a Christian and you need strengthening or you have sinned, we're here for you to help strengthen you and pray for you. If you're not a Christian, come forth and testify that the Christ is the Son of God and that God is great, and you will be baptized in the name of the Son, Father, and the Holy Spirit. Please come and do this while together as we stand and sing a song. Ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall
to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door doors shall be opened unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, Alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Please be seated. Would like to partake tonight, would you raise your hand? After each prayer, would you identify yourself so we will know by either raising your hand or standing? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this memorial, this unleavened bread, that we might remember the sacrifice of your Son's body that was made on our behalf. We thank you for giving this to us. We ask that each one that partakes examine himself and assures himself that he's in a right relationship with you. Thy will be done forever and ever. It's in thy Son's most holy name we pray. Amen.
Father, we thank thee for Jesus, who was willing to give his life and to shed his blood on the cross for sins of the world. We pray at this time that each Christian that drink of this cup might do an amount that will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
After the incident that he talked about, we talked about it for quite some time. He came back several months later. And he says, I've got something that needs to be said. And he asked if I would help him. He came tonight and he said, David, what I'm about to say, Brother Lanius, he said, actually, he's a very respectful young man. Are people going to think differently because of what I'm going to say? I said, no, no. Because a lot of us have been in the same place. We may not have taken it as far. It is noted that 80% of the American people, somewhere within their lifetime, toy with the idea of taking their life. Anyone who has ever stated, I wished I were dead, at that point has toyed with it. He or she may not take it beyond that, but they've toyed with it. And that's a very dangerous thought just to be in our minds and our hearts. There's a lot of stress put upon our young people, and sometimes we as parents are responsible for it. Our young people of this generation are not given time to rest. They're not given time to be at peace. A lot of times we hear parents talk about running here and there and yonder, and most of the running here and there and yonder is for their benefit and not for the child. Children are children, and they need time to rest. They need time to be just children. Sometimes we expect too much of them. And it's going to pay its toll. I think this is why we're having troubles in our schools with the killings by our young people, is because they don't know what it means to sit down in some places and rest and think through what's going on. I believe we could put most psychologists out of business if we would adhere to what Brandon had to say when he used the passage in James, confess your faults one to the other, and pray one for the other. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What that passage is actually teaching is that you you admit like faults. You admit like faults one to the other. And together, with God's help, you can deal with it. Again, I appreciate what Brandon had to say. He came to himself. Some young people don't come to themselves in time. We're glad that he did. Because he came to himself, we got to hear what he had to say tonight. We also got to witness tonight that he has the ability to speak and deliver information that he wants to impart. He may be one of the next speakers and preachers that goes out of Bel Air. If not Brandon, somebody else that's in this room. And this is why we give our men, young and old alike, the opportunity to stand before us and present material. What they do is they present the Word of God from their hearts, and we get to learn more about them. We appreciate very much the time and effort. And he spent a lot of time and effort in this. It took a lot of courage. He spent a lot of time. He came down here to this building. There's an old speaker's trick, and that is you come down to the building and you preach to an empty auditorium. He had to speak to me first, and then I left him by himself. But he did that because he wanted to present something that was a benefit to the local work here. Watch your children, watch yourselves. We're not just talking about youth. It could happen to any of us. We could allow something to get in between us and God to the point that we ask, why is it worth staying on this earth? Why is it worth it? Because, as Brandon said, God gave his son, which meant that we are valuable, that we're worth something. And we're thankful that this young brother of ours stood before us and was willing to share a part of his life that he didn't have to share, because the only one that knew it was his family and myself and maybe one or two others he may have said. But he wanted to help. He wanted to help. And that's what, are you listening? That's what it means to be a Christian. To help one another, to help one another, to bear one another's burdens, and in so doing, lift each other up and walk together with the Lord so that we can be with him forever and ever. Again, it's been great to be here. It's been great to be here. Hope you can come back and be with us Wednesday night when we do start those new Bible classes. For those of you who might not do that on Wednesday night, it'd be a good time for you to come if you can. We'll be talking about authority in one class, prayer and providence in the other, and David will continue with geography. We'll even let him keep his same old room upstairs. So again, it's been good to be here. Let's stand. We'll have our final song and prayer. God bless you. Be careful as you go home, and continue to pray for rain, because we do, you need it.
Sorry, before we sing the song, I have to add one more thing. That was an excellent sermon, Brandon. Thinking about the passage he mentioned, David also, James, and the prayer of confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Since we are all children of God, we are his family. We are a family amongst ourselves. And that's what family does. They have to talk to each other about any problems. So thank you. Number 61, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, let's sing all four stanzas. Do me, dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in pure lives thy service find. Without a word, rise up.
Thankful for this beautiful day we've had to come together and study a portion of thy word, sing songs of praise into thy name. Now, we ask you to go with us to our homes tonight and bring us back to the next appointed time. Now, we ask you to bless the sick, may the means being used be what they need to make them well. Won't you watch over Brother and Sister Reeves as they go on their way and bless them in every way that they need. Now we bless the ones that are unable to be here. Bless them because they're unable to get out and come to church. Now we ask you to bless the ones traveling, give them a safe passage where they're going, and bring them back safely to us. Forgive us of our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.